Kevin, Ken Weave from The Athletic, what made Cody a good fit to pursue it this time of year?
Well, I didn't actually see Cody's availability coming online here until a little while ago, and you know, so when the conversation started to happen, and you know, we looked at the structure of our team, and we looked at you know, some of the things that you know we feel could help this group become successful, and how we have to play to be successful. You know, Cody was someone that really intrigued the coaches from the moment that I brought his name up the first time. So, you know, we worked hard at trying to see if we could find a deal that works. Cody's the type of guy that just oozes character. You know, obviously he's had some tremendous playoff experience over the last couple of years. Tremendous character person, brings guys into the fight with how he plays, and you know, and the energy and leadership that he brings. So you know, real excited to you know, to add a player like that into our room and on our you know, into our locker room and on the ice.
How important is his versatility with the ability to bounce either between the wing or also give you the depth at the center ice position?
Well, that and you know, his penalty killing prowess. He's a great face-off guy. You know, again, those are the things that you just can't have enough of. You know, in an organization, the flexibility, you know, for the coaches to be able to play him with the different types of players. You know, his hockey sense is you know, is very high. So you know, those are things that you know, give coaches flexibility. And in situations like ours, where injuries have been very commonplace, we're going to have players hopefully coming back into our lineup soon as well. That you know, it gives you know, you need people that are flexible, and that can be more than just one dimensional type of players.
Thank you. Chevy, it's Jason Bell from Free Press. You know, you saw a lot of Cody in Dallas. You saw a lot of Cody in Vegas. And he's a guy that was, you know, a thorn on your side, but in a lot of teams' sides. I'm wondering if that bit of moxie is something that maybe you felt your team was missing or needed to bolster as this push to the playoffs comes up.
Well, there's no question that I think he adds an element that, you know, helps you get into the playoffs and is an extremely valuable thing when you are in the playoffs. And that's the type of player that he is. You know, he's, again, he brings people into the fight with him with how he plays. You know, again, it's something that, you know, really fit, you know, from that kind of perspective. It's not about, you know, how many goals is he scoring or anything like that, but it's how he scores them or how he, you know, gets opportunities and different things like that. But he went through an injury this year and you know, took a little while to get back from that, but, you know, a player that, again, on the character charts and the compete charts is, you know, is one of the higher ones.
Thanks, Chevy.
Thanks.
Sorry, Kevin, can we begin? Is there any other update on Adam Lowry, or is this a move we would have made regardless of his injury situation?
You know, again, this I didn't see this opportunity coming, so that's the first and foremost thing. So it wasn't one of those where, you know, there was, you could read, you know, between the lines. Obviously, Vegas made some, you know, some moves, and you know, there's some cap considerations that, you know, that do come into play with, I guess, some of the moves that they made. So, like I say, it was one that we adjusted to more so than, you know, than targeted. And, you know, over the course of the last couple of days here in the conversations that we've had, you know, the coaches felt that it was, and myself, that, you know, this is a good direction for this group to go. As far as an update on Lowry, I really don't. I think, you know, he's skating here with a group of guys that are injured. And, you know, we're hopeful that when the team gets back off the trip, that, you know, those guys will be closer to joining the main group.
Thank you. And speaking of flexibility, how do these two moves you've made impact any potential moves before Monday for your team?
It's hard to say. You know, again, as close as Monday is, Monday's a far, far way off yet. So you know, we'll see how some things play out. But, you know, if there's some hockey deals out there to look at, we're certainly, you know, open to those and then looking at those. Some of those, you know, things, you know, might be able to happen given, you know, the flexibility of the cap that we do have. But I think, again, it really all still comes back down to fit. You know, we'll evaluate something, and if something we'll explore it to the extent that we can.
Thank you.
Kevin,
I'm just wondering, Kevin, very quickly, you've obviously spoken, or have you spoken with Cody? I don't know if this is doing anything. And what's his take on returning home?
So we haven't really talked too much about returning home. You know, we talked more about just, again, you know, the shock of obviously being traded is certainly something that I think every player goes through. You know, and I guess as weird as it is, when you don't see your name out there, you're probably not prepared for it. So, but by no way am I making that easier for you guys to start putting names out there. So just so you can make it easy on players, but it's, you know, I think any time a player gets traded, there's an initial shock. But you know, I think the excitement of you know, playing in front of his hometown will be, you know, something he can you know, answer a little bit better than me. For me, I'm excited about getting Cody Eakin, the hockey player, regardless of where he's you know, from. So that really factored in more than anything, you know, for us. It you know, the fact that he's from Winnipeg is a nice maybe sideline. You know, the fact that he's the type of player that he is why we got him.
Kevin, Sean Reynolds with Sportsnet. Can you give us an idea of the timeline of this coming together, when it started to look like something that piqued your interest, and how long it took to move on it?
So probably, you know, the days, you know, shortly after, you know, we made the DeMello trade, and you know, I think things started percolating for a lot of other teams. You know, there was some communication around that time. And obviously, you know, just kind of played it out up until, you know, whatever, 5 o'clock today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Kevin Murat from The Athletic here. Certainly, I think with the Buffalo situation, at least to me as a writer, the cap situation is maybe more complicated than usual. But as far as I can tell, you guys have some space to work with. And I'm wondering if the idea of using space to acquire assets is something that you're more uniquely able to do just as a theory this year than necessarily some others.
So certainly in theory I could. You know, again, there's certainly a benefit if there's the right, you know, person, you know, out there in that regard. You know, we plan to be a cap team, you know, from the standpoint of we plan to be a cap team this year, and we certainly plan moving forward to be a cap team. So I'm not looking to carry, you know, a contract just for the sake of carrying a contract. But, you know, again, if there was a way to obviously entice something, sure, you'd take a look at it. But, you know, if you're not a team that is, you know, planning to be a cap team, then maybe it's a little bit easier. But for all intents and purposes, you know, moving forward here, I'm not looking to save cap space, you know, for anything other than getting great players. Or players that fit.
Is that it, everybody?
One more, Kevin, Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Yep. Again. So two of these deals, they look like they, you know, depending on whether or not you revisit with these players in the summer and re-sign them, they look like they could potentially be short-term deals. When you keep referring to, you know, last time with DeMello and now you've talked about doing hockey deals, when you say that, are you talking about potentially, you know, making, I don't know, bigger full-time type trades that would address needs going forward if those kind of things presented themselves?
So those are always, you know, potential options here. I don't think you're ever, you know, not looking, you know, for something that on the hockey deal side of it. They become a little bit more difficult when you're really, you know, you're dealing with the trade deadline in season as opposed to, you know, something out of season when, you know, every team is really trying to, you know, look at their own situation and make the right deals. When I refer to, you know, like the DeMello and Cody here, you know, going into the other trade deadlines, you know, when we made the Stastny deal, we didn't know if we could be able to re-sign him or not. It turns out we tried to put our best, you know, efforts in there and the cap did get in the way. When we made the Hayes deal last year, we knew we couldn't re-sign him because, you know, from all intents and purposes, you know, what was going to be coming on the cap, we knew that there was really no chance at all of us being able to make an offer that would entice Kevin to stay. In these situations here, obviously, given, you know, what has transpired over the course of some time here, You know, if there's good fits on both sides, then we are open to, you know, to looking at those type of things as more than just rental. So it all depends on how you want to look at the perspective of it. And given, you know, the state of our cap situation right now, we can look at these players that we just acquired here over the course of this week as potential guys that, if, again, if the fit is there for both sides to be longer-term type things.